You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans. By the way, tonight at 5:15 in the executive dining room, we had a huge crowd last week. We have about 7 different professors teaching for the next 15 weeks on the rapture of the church, the eschatology, the what's going to happen with Russia, what's going to happen with Iran according to the Bible, what's going to happen to the Middle East, what's going to happen with Israel. And it is incredible, Brother Martinez, just incredible. He'll be teaching again tonight and then others. And Brother Martinez is a great teacher. So I hope that you'll be here tonight right on time. And I really look forward to tonight's service. Bus kids, we only have the B division in here. We've been having C division, but they're back over there at the other property. The other property is filled with the C bus ministry, with the Spanish ministry. This property is filled with the B ministry right now. And we're in here, 6 o'clock tonight. Let us not forget. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's take our Bibles and let's read together Romans chapter 8. And let's read verses 1 through 8 together. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Romans 8, 1 through 8. Ready? Begin.
There is therefore now no condemnation.
Father, I love these people so much. I'm so grateful they allow me to be their pastor. Help me to pastor these people today. Shepherd them. I love them. I pray that they'd be helped. Lord, on that first Sunday of the year, we preached about our adversary, the devil. He's like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Last Sunday, I preached on keeping our minds straight, thinking on lovely things, good things. Help me today. Lord, I'm an example of the message of the day in my life. My heart condemns me so much. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I wonder this morning how many people in this room are living up in these balconies and the lower floor with condemnation in their life. You can easily condemn yourself. I recall as a boy, I got saved as a young boy, but I kept sinning. Sin always doesn't make you unsaved, but it separates you from God. That's right. And I'd lie in bed at night as a young boy, night after night after night. And I'd pray, dear God, if I did not mean it that day when I got saved, I really mean it tonight. I got saved and got saved and got saved over and over. My heart condemned me. I wonder, are you here with a condemning heart? Some of our condemnation is going to stay with us for life. David said, my sin, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, my sin is ever before me. So some sin, yes, And by the way, you ought to thank God. That's a reminder what it was like when you sinned against God. Don't do that again. Amen. Does your heart condemn you? The things you've thought, the things you said, the things you've done. I imagine Brother Whitlow in the prisons, there's a lot of condemnation for the crimes that those people have committed. God bless them. They're getting saved. There's therefore now no condemnation. I want to live with no condemnation. I find still pastoring your church at times, I come under deep condemnation. Why is that? Why do we have condemnation? Condemnation is a great word. It's a word that deals with, it's a verdict. It's a law term. It's a verdict. It's a sentence. And I, at times, still today, I get myself under this verdict. I get myself under this sentence because of wrongdoings I have done. Not that disqualifies me from being your pastor, just wrong. You know, fear is sin. And sometimes I have such great, great faith. I believe God. And then it follows up with great fear. That's sin. And then my heart condemns me. I want to speak today on victory over condemnation. Victory. I want you all to have victory. I don't know what sin you've committed. I don't know what sin your husband will not forgive in your life, or what sin your wife will not forgive. I don't know what sin that you will not forgive yourself, but God says there is therefore now no condemnation. I want you to leave out of here without condemning yourself. Look what the Bible says. Victory over our condemnation means that we're to walk in the Spirit. Daily walk with God. Watch what the verse says. There is therefore now, what's the next word? No. Say it again. What's that word? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. There's a comma. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. The word walk is to make progress. You're to make progress. I'm to make progress. I am to regulate myself. You're to regulate yourself. And that's what God's Word says. I'm to walk in the Spirit. You know, Rosalie, your mom's favorite song. I've been thinking about your mom all this week. She was such a sweet, sweet Christian. Your aunt, just a sweet Christian lady. And I think she passed away at age 58, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong there. We have a bridge and tower dedicated to her. But you know, her favorite song, she said, can I sing my favorite chorus? You know what her favorite, it was Walk. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. I'm walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. She'd say, Pastor, that's my favorite song. It was just a little chorus to walk with God. God says walking with Him is where He wants you. I want to, God says, and He walks with me. He wants to walk with me. He wants to talk with me. I find in my life, I have to work at that. I have to work at it because my flesh, and this text is spirit and flesh. The flesh is against God. My flesh wants to do what I want to do. My flesh does not want to read my Bible. My flesh does not want to pray. My flesh does not want me to go soul winning. My flesh does not want me. My flesh wants me to think on things that are not lovely. My flesh wants to do the wrong. That's my flesh. When you get saved, your flesh doesn't get saved. When you get saved, you're still going to battle the old man, the book of Romans says, and the new man. You've heard this illustration 1,000 times in 50 years, but in the Amazon, the man was going up the river, missionary, winning folks to Christ. He won the chief to Christ, and he came back months later, and the chief said, big war inside. He said, what are you talking about? Big war inside. Like two dogs fighting. What I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. Two oars fighting, two dogs fighting. Big, big problem. They said, which one wins? He goes, the dog I feed the most. You feed the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. You feed the Spirit, you are going to reap the Spirit. My Bible says in chapter number 8, verse number 6. Let's read verse 6 together. Ready? Begin. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. So tomorrow morning, you have to get up and think on spiritual things. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm satisfied. Every day of my life, I try to always go back to that little light night in 1956 when I got saved. Every day I try to relive my salvation. And you say, well, you know it. I know it, but I try to sit myself in that little green chair. I try to walk down that aisle. I try to kneel and pray with Mrs. Morningstar. Every single day I think about it. I think of my sweet pastor home with the Lord. Every day, why? I want to join in fellowship with his suffering. I want to think about it. Every day I try to think of heaven. I've been thinking about it lately. My mother's been gone 11 years. My dad's been gone, I think, 9 years, maybe 10 this year. I miss my parents so much. You know how it is if your parents have passed away. How many in this great auditorium have your parents that have already passed away? Would you raise your hand? Look at that. Keep them up, bro. Look at that. The vast majority of us, you may put them down. The vast majority of us lost parents, whether young or old, doesn't matter. And I think about my mother and dad in heaven. I think of heaven and how it's a wonderful place. I think of what they must be doing in heaven. I think about its streets of gold and the throne of grace. I think about seeing my Savior. I want to see my Savior, first of all, before on any others I'd call. I think about heaven. I think about the blood of Christ. I think about redemption. I think about Calvary. I think about growing in grace. I try to think about the Lord all day long because my flesh is so evil. My flesh is bent on doing wrong. I don't know how to tell you this, Brother Petro. I love God. I love him. I love his work. I love his people. But it's not over till the fat lady sings, they say. It's not over till I die. I've met a lot of preachers my age and younger that have messed up. Better men than I am. Much better Christians than I am. And I know that I can still mess up my life. There's certain things that are not hard for me. Smoking may be hard for you. That's not hard for me. I never smoked in my life. I made that decision in sixth grade. I said, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. Drinking alcohol is not a hardship. I never have tasted it. I was working in the grocery store in the 60s, and they said, Jack, we're promoting you. You're in charge of the dairy and the beverages. And I got working, and I got figuring out. I said, man, there's all this liquor. I got to handle this. I went to my boss, Chuck Wall. I said, Chuck, I can't stack this liquor up. He said, Jack, you have to. You're a manager now. I said, I can't do it. I wasn't a good Christian in high school. I said, I can't do it. He said, Jack, you're going to either do it or I'm going to have to fire you. You're one of my best workers. He said, I want you to think. And I thought about it. I came back to him the next day. I said, I can't do that, Chuck. He said, I'll move you to another department. You know, I don't have a problem with smoking. I don't have a problem with liquor. But I do have a problem with sin in my life. God's word says we all have that sin that does so easily besets us. And I have some sins in my life that easily can control my life. Easily. And until you figure out what sin besets you so easily, you're never going to have success because you're not aware of it. I'm aware how the devil is going to come and fight my mind about this sin. And the only thing I can say, I have to resist the devil. Look what the Bible says in verse number seven. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. Let's read verse 8. Ready, begin. So then they that are in the flesh. So you have a choice to yield to the flesh. And sometimes I do. Why do I do that? You yield to the flesh. And I say no to the Spirit. And then my heart condemns me. You can't live with a condemned heart. I find not only daily walking with God, but I find secondly, depending upon the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, what's that next word? Dwell in you. Let's look at verse number 11, shall we? But if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead, what's that word? Dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that, what's the word? Dwelleth in you. Dwelleth means to occupy. It means to invade. It means to reside. And the Spirit of God wants to reside preeminent in my life. My flesh says, okay, I'm going to give way to my flesh, but the Spirit of God over here tugging me. And what one I yield to is the one that I follow. If I yield to my flesh, I am outside the Spirit of God. I've not lost the Spirit of God. I've not lost my salvation. I have lost relationship with God. The biggest avenue in my life is to have a daily relationship with God.
Amen.
Doesn't mean I walk around with my head in the sky and I praise God. I'm such a good Christian. That's not what Christianity is about. I tell you what, I love being with men of God. Men that are pastors, men that are laymen in churches. I preach all over America. I was preaching this last week in a nearby city. And I tell you what, there's a man of God in that church. And there's some people of God in that church. I love going there. I just love it. I'm preaching, I think, tomorrow night somewhere, or maybe next Monday. I forget when it is. And the pastor there is now retired. He's been there 50 years. He's got dementia. And there's a new boy that I held the day he was born. And he's the pastor of that church in Sacramento now, Downtown Baptist. You know, I'm looking forward to being with that man of God. The iron sharpeneth iron. And I want to be around. I love being around these men. I love it. I don't really get much time to visit with them. I love being around the staff people. I love being around the deacons. I love being around this church. I can't tell you, I don't know, we'll stay for a few minutes at the basketball tonight. My wife and I go over there. I need to get her a ride over in that little golf cart of yours. But we love it. I love talking to you. I was waving at Greg today. You didn't see me. I think Eileen saw me, but I don't think you saw me. I thank God for you, Greg and Eileen. I just thank God. You're so faithful to God's house. Eric, I'm so glad to see you in God's house this morning. I look around and I love these teenagers. Amen. We have teens and adults in here. I love you. I love your little kids. But God's word says that I'm supposed to love God more. If you could pray for your pastor that I would love God with all my heart. Amen. I want to be such a man of God that people can sense I'm with a man of God. They can feel it. They can sense it. Some be convicted by it. But I want them to know that I'm with a man of God. And that's what God's word says. Jack, if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. And so I have to allow God to occupy my, that means throughout the day, I have to say, Spirit of God, come and fill me right now. Spirit of God, I'm a little bit weak right now. Fill me right now. It's a daily habit with me. It has to be a daily habit with you. And so I daily have to walk with God. I daily have to depend upon God. And there's a third thing, and I want you to see it. There's a daily death to self. Look what it says. Verse 13, let's read it together, shall we? Verse 13, ready? Begin. For if ye live after the flesh,
ye shall die.
You know, to mortify is what the dentist does to you, Dr. May. That's what you do to all our lovely people here. Dentist, I hate dentist. Now, hate's a very strong word, but I don't like the dentist. The dentist, I get in the chair and something happens to a dentist. They become madmen. They always come with a needle that's about this long. It's huge, maybe this long, maybe this long. But they bring a huge needle to me. And they said, this isn't going to hurt, just a little pinch. That little pinch hurts. I never want to go back to the dentist again. I was in Colorado for some dental work years ago, and I had to go every day for 5 days. And I was there, and that dentist, I witnessed on the first day, he's working my mouth. I was trying to witness to him with talking, and he listened to me. After work, he listened to me. And Monday and Tuesday, and by Wednesday, he got saved. He came to hear me preach on Wednesday night. I was in that city. And I said, this is rare because I don't think a dentist can get saved. And he got saved. When the dentist mortifies you, he deadens that area. And that's what God wants me to do with my flesh. All these sweet little college girls here, they all have flesh. Some of our college kids, and most are out this hour, but some of them are going to destroy their life in the future over a boy, over a girl, over some sin, over stealing. Some are going to wind up in prison because they cannot mortify, they cannot deaden their flesh. And normally when you commit that sin, then you deaden your flesh. And you live with the, you know, that's how the devil is. That's why he was with Eve. Oh, you'll not die. Go ahead. Go ahead. Eat that. Eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good. Just go ahead and do it. And the devil, I don't know about you, Brother Flood, but sometimes he rides with me in my car. Does he ride with you? Sometimes he rides with me. Sometimes I have to pull over and say, get out of the car. Amen. Just get out. And he always presents sin very, very, oh, it's okay. You have a right to this. And then when you sin and do that sin, then he takes it and he abuses you the rest of your life. See, you're no good. See, you deserve to die in hell. See, and he'll crucify. That's what David did. David was a good man. A man after God's own heart. And David committed sin with Bathsheba. Very, very poor decision. And David's heart, the rest of his life, condemned him. And you get to 2 Samuel 23. He talks about a king, and he ought to be like the showers and the falling rain and all the beautiful things. But he said, and your home ought to be just a wonderful place. And then he says this, although it's not that way with me. My home's not good. My son Absalom killed himself. My son Amnon was killed by his brother. My daughter Tamar committed incest and sin. My whole family's a mess because they saw their dad. And his heart condemned him and condemned him. You know, you that have committed such harsh sin, I don't know if people will ever forgive you. People always remember our sins. But God's forgiven you of all your iniquities. By the way, he's not going to bring them up in heaven either. He's not going to bring them up. Man brings them up. And it hurts me when I hear somebody criticizing another Christian because of some sin in their life. It wounds my heart. I think, my goodness, here's this person. Yes, they did wrong. But their own heart is condemning them. They don't need you to condemn them. I know that's what's happening in the prisons. So many of those men have to, 85% with no dads in their life. Most of those men have to live with the consequence of having no dad, no male image in their heart. And then they mess up and they commit crimes and they go to prison. But I tell you, they make some of the very best Christians. They get a hold of this thing that God's forgiven them. And child of God, whatever your sin is, God will forgive it. Oh, this church may not forgive it, and mankind may not forgive it, and your family may not forgive it, but He has removed as far as the east is from the west all of our iniquities, Psalm 103. He's removed them from us. And they're gone. Gone. I close. I do not want God's people to live in condemnation. Don't let the devil do that to you. Instead, learn victory by a daily walking with God. By secondly, dependence upon the Spirit of God. By thirdly, dying to self. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, I love these people. You know I love them. I want the best for their lives. I'm trying to prepare them for life, to live a happy life. And I do pray, dear God, I pray that You'd speak to their hearts. I believe that You've spoken this hour. I think of so many that are here that just condemn themselves. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Help us, dear God. Help us. How many are here between you and me and God? You say, Pastor, my heart condemns me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? My heart condemns me. You may put them down everywhere. Mine does too. Mine does too. But the Spirit of God gives me such victory.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.